All right, here we are, dialed in, coming at you with episode 34. Before we get into it real quick, we're going to give you a word from our sponsor, Law Chevrolet Buick. Family-owned sales and service Chevrolet and Buick dealer located in Boonville, Indiana. Go check them out. They're going to have a Memorial Day sale. Of course, you know, best prices you can get. Brand new Chevrolets, Buicks. They have great used inventory, awesome staff. Go see Dylan. Go see Steve. Any of their salespeople can take great care of you. You know, you don't want to be buying a vehicle from people that, you know, you really don't know. And I can tell you, you know, you spend a second around Steve Law or really any of the people there, you know, you feel like family and you feel like they're your friends really right off the bat. Service, you know, go see Chad Pryor, their service manager. He'll get you all taken care of, anything that you need, you know, done on your vehicle. These guys are awesome. So don't be buying a vehicle anywhere else because, you know, it won't be the tires that you'll be kicking.
Here we go, staging them up on the left-hand lane. The Throwdown Motorsports 65 Chevy 2, 626 on the dial, it's Zach Slump. On the right-hand side, the Icon Pistons Diamond Engine and Machine 74 Vega Wagon, 592 on the dial, it's Jake Hodge.
So we're back with episode 34 of Dotto with Jake and Zach. And Zach, it's been quite a while since we had an episode that the week prior we both sucked. So I'm glad to have you back on cloud one with me.
Yeah, that's for sure. It was a racing-wise for me in Huntsville. It was definitely a weekend to forget, you know. But that is that's just the way that it goes sometimes. And, you know, actually, you weren't the only one. And we'll get into Jake breaking stuff here in a minute. You weren't the only one that broke something. Because in a way, I was lucky because, man, I parked the car after I got beat second round on Sunday, took both my whippings and was getting ready to load up and go home, dropped the car in reverse and feel something weird in the steering wheel, like, you know, something clunked, didn't really feel right, you know, did it again just to try to find out what it was, took the hood off, and I had a brake caliper bolt broken on the front. So I wasn't going to be doing any more racing anyway. I guess that's just kind of the way it goes.
That's minor detail. We're not racing with our brakes.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, you don't really need to stop, right?
Just pull that thing off, keep going.
But, you know, I mean, all in all, I mean, the race down at Huntsville was good. I mean, there's quite a lot of cars, $50,000 to win, $350 to enter. It was a good deal. Track was in good shape. You know, it's just what put a damper over the whole weekend was just the news that we got that on the way there, the Ellis family had had their horrible crash that took the life of our fellow racer, Kyle Ellis, left Donnie Ellis, you know, severely injured. Other people in the vehicle, very, very hurt. Our thoughts go out to them. It's just horrible to see. You know, I couldn't stop thinking about it all weekend. Of course, I mean, I just can't imagine what their family and friends are going through. And of course, you know, I'm glad to call the Ellis family's friends that have raced over there at I-57 with them a lot. And we're sure going to miss Kyle. You know, it was just a rough thing to have happen. Of course, hate to see that for anybody. And I think that it made me kind of rethink about just a little bit deeper into what all we're doing and how all these moving parts and everything that we expect to work just to get us to the racetrack, to get us home. You know, that sometimes, you know, if we don't sleep enough and we're out there driving, you know, might be best just to pull over, try to figure something else out. Hearts go out, thoughts go out to the Ellis family. Can't imagine what they're going through. Just a horrible thing.
Yeah, it's definitely a bad deal. And, you know, I got a text message of the article when I was in North Carolina, and I didn't really open it up and read it, and I didn't realize that's what it was. And it's just a bad deal. And, you know, we all travel tired. We all travel all night long to get to these races, and it's not something that we need to play with. And this is, I don't know exactly why the crash happened. Speculation, of course, was that he fell asleep. Happens. I mean, I've certainly been driving way past the point where I was tired. You know, it just kind of shows you that nobody's Superman. Nobody can, you know, just take that on the chin and keep going. We all need to be, whether we miss, you know, first round or miss a race, you know, we've got more races coming up. So definitely need to make sure we all take care of ourselves and the ones around us. You know, it just sucks that Donnie's now without his son and they're all without a loved one. And it could have been worse, but it could have been prevented at the same time. And it just sucks that it had to happen to one of our own.
Yeah, very true. So with that being said, you know, let's go on into the rest of the show. We'll try to, try to appreciate our racing and appreciate what we get to do and just, you know, remember that how fast everything can change and how fast something can get taken away that's extremely important to you. So just to move on from that, let's talk about Jake in North Carolina. So what? What? We all saw the picture of him smiling at the camera.
That was actually. Hold on a minute. We're gonna fix that. That was okay. Not. That was okay. Lou Greco going, "What did you break now?"
I see.
Happened to be standing right next to the Motor Mania scaffold. That was just icing on the cake for the weekend that I had already. You know, I was supposed to leave Thursday about noon to go down to Georgia. Yeah, I don't know if anybody keeps track of my logistics, but they're not very in check. So I went from Indiana to Augusta, Georgia, and Augusta, Georgia to North Carolina. Added about 5 hours to the trip, but if I wanted to race, you know, that was what I needed to do. Well, we're going to start this off in reverse to the beginning of the week. My grandpa on Thursday had a doctor's appointment that I took him to, and they ended up admitting him to the hospital. And, you know, I was with him for most of the day and most of the afternoon, most of the evening, and my grandma and whatnot. And at like 9:30, I finally left Indiana to go to Augusta, which was a 9.5-hour drive. So you want to do simple math, 12 hours would have been 9 o'clock in the morning when I got there. Augusta to Piedmont is 4 hours, and round one starts at about 11:30. So I'm rolling up the road. I finally get to Augusta at 6 o'clock in the morning, or 8 o'clock in the morning. I don't remember what time it was. It was all a blur. And I'm rolling up north. I'm texting George Hoff. I'm like, "George, put an open bottle of oil in the trunk and just take off in your time run. Come on." You know, so I know Michael, you're listening. So, Michael, I'm sorry that I went to these lengths. But it's like, man, I was meeting Richard at the racetrack, and he had the Chevelle, and I had the Vega with me. So he wasn't making a time run, really, because his car was with me and my car was with him. And I was like, "George, come on, man, you know, do it for me." He's like, "Nope, I haven't even got stickers yet. I'm not doing nothing." So, yeah. So at that point, I realized, one, I'm going to miss the race on Friday. And George Hoff has stickers that are at my house still. So this is my public apology to George Hoff. I'm looking at him right now. So I finally get there in the middle of first round somehow. The motorhome won't do but 45 mile an hour up the interstate, wide open. And that's downhill. And I roll in there, and I'm double entered in round one. I roll up there, and I drop one and win one. I'm like, all right, you know, we're not doing too bad. My first light was 052 out of the trailer. Because I thought, you know what, I need some delay in this thing, because it's about where I was in Rockingham. It was like 1090 something. It's 52, and I was like, wow, I can't do that again. So I rolled 20 out, and I'm 34. I'm like, for once in my life, I hit it consistent back-to-back. Rolled 20 more out. But we rolled it down to second. I dropped them both second round or something. I still hadn't been to bed, so it's whatever. So I think I got something rolling in the 40 grander main event. I'm 12 dead one, my second entry fourth round, no good. My guy lays down like 4 dead two, and whatever. Whatever. So I've got Slick Rick Alford, okay, at 20 cars, round 5 of the 40 grand. I'm like, all right, you know, this is a pretty good spot. I've got quite a bit of mile an hour on him. I know he's going to drop. I'm just going to catch it and roll through with it. So I let go, and I took off. I'm like, yeah, that wasn't bad. Probably teens, and, you know, he's obviously not usually teen. We roll down through there, and just before it goes into high gear, it is the largest nitrous backfire I've ever seen out of a naturally aspirated engine. There's no nitrous on the car. I'm going down through there, and it has developed like a high RPM miss right at the shift change, and it clears up when you shift. I'm like, wow, that's good. You know, it's still running. Send it in the middle of the race. And it just goes bang and fire out the carburetor, out the cowl, and up the windshield. I thought, wow, where I'm going to die, right here. And at that point, I'm like, this has happened to me before. I know exactly what's wrong with this thing. And the distributor gears broke because it has happened to me before. It shot fire out the front of my wagon before. So I ended up losing, obviously, because Alfred saw that I wasn't there. I get it fixed just in time for the gambler's race. And you saw the picture that went viral with the Tucker Creech and I's run, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so I had Tucker first round of the gambler's race. This is kind of leading up to the run on Sunday. And I am 19, and I don't know what the car is going to run, because after I put the distributor in it, it still wouldn't fire. I thought, wow, yeah, that's cool. It was obviously broke, fixed it, put it in there. And as I'm leaning across the car to crank it over, I'm looking down, and the coil wire is arcing off of the K&R relay board, the wiring harness board. Like, it's got spark and flame going between the two. I thought, that's not good. So, get like the first round of the gambler's race is going down the racetrack at this point. So I end up fixing it. I have no idea what it's going to run, because I just assumed that the coil wire was my high RPM miss. I've got Tucker roll up there. I'm like, all right, you know, 2/10, that's not a bad roll. I'll just go up there and I'll hang a wheel. We'll be good. So I'm 19, hanging a wheel to get 3,000 behind, and I'm a hero. I'm 19, get behind 3,000 to be 7 above. He's 77 dead 6. I'm like, wow, you know, that way to goof that one up. And I had been driving the finish line really well for about a month now. letting go is a really big struggle, but I can drive the finish line with the best of them, I think, in a door car, and I gave it back $3,000. So I was like, all right, whatever. It runs. We'll try again for $10,000. So I've got Tucker my second entry around one, and I said, hey, man, you know, I wouldn't be 77 here because I'm not holding anything. I lied. I let go, and it starts moving, and I'm like, oh, that's red, and it turned green. I'm like, huh, not bad. I can go like 63.8 right here. I'm dialed 66. Roll down through there, and I'm like, this is way too tight. And I really just wanted to bail out of it. I put a couple rips, and I saw dead one come up. I'm like, wow, that was a really close race. And I had like four text messages before I made it to the ticket shack. Mm-hmm. Holy hell, oh my God. And Tucker's in front of me. I see him grab his ticket and flip me off and keep driving. I'm like, what just happened? Like, that had to be a really good race. So I'm two take three down 6 mile an hour again. And he's four dead two next to me. And the greatest part about that is he went on to win $10,000, which we'll talk about that here in a little bit. A dude that deserves it. And I told him, I was like, man, I gave you a free buyback out of the whole deal because Loose Rocker gives the best losing package, free re-entry. I said, I paid your buyback for you. I don't know what else you want from me. And apparently that didn't get any cut of the $10,000. So put it across from him all day long. And you know, he laid down some really good laps and was good when he needed to be. And he deserved it. And I did not. two dead one was my highlight of my career so far, actually, so we're good.
That's a great race. And yeah, I guess to go into a little more detail on what I did, I don't know if everybody, I know I posted my one-time slip. I was, so in the third round of the 50 grander, I was 0008 red, and would have had it easy. The guy, when we went across, he was dialed 599, he ran four over his dial-in. Of course, when we got to the finish line, it wouldn't have even been a race. But that's the way it goes. You know, I seriously almost put one in the box. I just come off an eight, and I thought about setting up nine just to still be set up 00, but give myself a little bit of insurance. Of course, I should have done it. Should have, would have, could have. Ended up with me parked by 8/10,000s. And then on Sunday, missed the ball first round, and then second round, I guess I was trying to be a hero and make up for it because I caught it coming on. I caught it coming on. I was 19 red, and but it didn't help. There was a four pack next to me, so
I did the same thing. Yeah.
That made me feel a little bit better about being 19 red with a four pack in the other lane.
I did the same thing with Skirt Friday. I just caught it coming on. I was 19 red.
It does happen, that's for sure. But yeah, you know, ready to go this weekend. We'll take the Sebring Performance, throw down Motorsports Chevy 2 down over to Memphis. Ended up lucking out, getting on a dream team. That's, our team has changed like eight times since I got on it. But that's awesome. I think it's great. We got all door cars. I'm looking forward to being involved in that again. So tune in, going to be on Motor Mania this year. So I didn't realize that until just a couple of days ago. So that's going to be awesome. Everybody tune in and watch. Definitely on Saturday. We'll rush the whole weekend, of course, but watch Saturday for the Dream Team race, because if you haven't seen the team race before, it's exciting.
Yep. I'm supposed to make an appearance this weekend and hang out with the Motor Mania crew, but kind of decided with stuff going on family-wise and help my grandpa's health and whatnot, we're going to hang around in the house this weekend and enjoy Memorial Day at home. And if it ends up being dry around here, we'll probably go Junior Dragster Racing Saturday or something and get that out of the way and hang out Memorial Day weekend. I've got Monday off, so I'm not sure what I'm going to do with myself for 4 days at home, but it'll be relaxing, maybe productive. I'm not sure.
Yeah, and wanted to mention this to you. I know a racetrack that's close to your neck of the woods. What do you think about Coles County getting a brand new service done by surface, and they got it all funded by crowdfunding?
Well, there was like, I think, $32,000 raised, if I'm not correct or not mistaken, 32 or 37, and from the 60 foot on, it got repaved. And I spoke about the ski jump at that last racetrack that I stopped at. Coles County is full of character, and I'm not shaming it, because I have a blast every time I go there and race. It's tough racing every time. But going through the shutdown there is, or not through the shutdown, but through the finish line, there's another dip. And it's not bad in a door car. And that's not deterred me from going there. But you go through the finish line, you're like, wow, that's a bump. And you know, and I'm glad to see that they can get that repave done and they can have fast race cars there again, because that place is awesome when you have fast race cars going down that, because it's so historic and it's so nostalgic that when you see Judd Kaufman show up with his Pro Mod or Steve Moss with his Top Sportsman car and they go, you know, low 4 second passes there, it's cool, because you know, the shutdown there is, you go up one hill as the first turn off and you go up the second hill as the second turn off, but the top of the hill is the sand trap, so you got to you know, slow down. So if you have anything that has any kind of rigid suspension, like a dragster or whatnot, it's tough. You pack chutes every time down the racetrack. But now I see that, you know, they accomplished their goal. And Katrina Shane, I believe, is who got behind the crowdfunding. She, you know, she stuck her neck out and advocated for it and said, this is what we're going to do with this money. You know, I'm going to stick my neck out and I will make sure this money goes to this. And this is what we're doing it for. And, you know, that's awesome. You know, racetracks need more people like that. And I just actually, before we started this episode, I read where they were having problems with the fundraiser thing that they're using.
Mm-hmm.
I guess whenever you sign up, the money's not paid then, but you just pledge it.
Mm-hmm.
Some people that were pledging with debit and credit cards are declining. So I hope they get that resolved rather quickly.
Yeah, because I thought that was a cool deal. You know, I mean, a little racetrack that obviously, you know, didn't have the funding to do it themselves, but knew that the upgrade is needed. And I thought that was awesome to see racers and all kinds of, you know, different business owners and people come together to get that done was really cool. So, you know, hopefully they can get it all. Looked like it was getting ready to start happening pretty soon. So, awesome to see there for a good little racetrack. And once they get that done, I'm going to have to make a trip up there.
Yeah, it's a good time. It really is. And, a little fun fact about Coles County is there is a bridge. It's a man-made bridge. It's not like a industrial construction size bridge on their property. And whenever you go there, you're going to look at it and say, I am not taking my race car across.
Mm-hmm.
And on one side of the bridge is literally an elephant. I think it is an elephant or rhinoceros or something, holding a sign that says, it'll hold. I'm not right. joking.
Yep, I've seen that picture of that before.
And you go over it, and I'm like, man, that is awesome. You know, you have these racetracks now that have their own exits off interstates. This is on a two-lane highway down a private lane over a bridge, and it's on the sand trap is actually on the backside of a golf course, so it's pretty neat. You get golfers walking through the woods, almost walking on the racetrack, but it's home of the official podcast critic, Rob Fisher. Yeah, so yeah, you'll have to make the trek over there. I'm not too far away, so we'll make a trip over there. We'll make a day out of it.
Sounds like a plan. Well, with that, let's move on into the results section of the show. Lots of big money bracket racing going on across the country this weekend. Kick it off to where I was at down there in Huntsville for the Price is Right 50K. Friday night, they had a gambler's race for a grand to win, and K&R's own Kevin Rodden took the win in his Vega. Not exactly sure who the runner-up was. Sorry, I was not able to find that information. And Saturday, 50K, huge shout-out to my buddy Mike Lukey taking the win in Steve Hoheimer's dragster over Lance Kittle in his S10. Lukey's been at this a long time. He has been in all kinds of different cars, door cars, dragsters, all kinds of different, from 7-second whatever door car to 450 dragster. It doesn't matter what you put the guy in, he's good. And it's awesome to see a guy from close to home get that win. And our own Steve Law, Law Chevrolet, was almost in a final with him. He got down to three cars in the Nova. So a shout out to Steve Law for getting it done as well, going deep in that 50K race. Sunday, it looked like rain when we were getting ready to leave right after second round, and we didn't waste any time getting out of there, get on the road and get home so I could start fixing the car. And so they ended up getting down to 42 cars, and they split the 10K on Sunday.
Yep. And we'll go to the Loose Rocker. It's my best CJ Yeager voice writer for this.
Mm-hmm.
Summit Super Door Car Shootout.
That's good.
The $40,000 Super Door Car Challenge at Piedmont Dragway in beautiful Julian, North Carolina. The Friday ATI warm-up 10 grander is Jeff Serra over Timbo. Timothy Fletcher in the Peak. Well, what was he driving? The Camaro? No, not the Camaro.
He was in the Nova.
Yeah, in the Nova. Going like 620s, I think. And yep. Serra dialed it up to like a 540 in the final. He can go like 527, 528 wide open. Pretty cool to watch him drive the finish line. And anything, especially a door car that goes 520s. Speaking of door cars that go 520s, the guy that I had fifth round of the gambler's race and screwed it up, Tommy Plott, picked up the win over John Matera. And Matera has been going rounds. He did a whole bunch of winning at Darlington for Loose Rocker's footbrake race. I think they own the Calvert Kettle Corn Company, but I'm pretty sure they have something to do with it, the Matera family. So Tommy Plott, showing up, showing out, just like he always does. This 40 grander, none other than TG Pascal, or everybody's been calling him TJ lately for some reason. In the Roundtree Camaro, beat Chris Dean, his engine builder, in the other Roundtree Chevy 2. So the Roundtree family, they drove around in the golf cart after the 40 grander was over, just hanging out with the trophy on the back, letting everybody know, you know, hey, this is ours. We won it. See you later. We're out. But the Gamblers race Saturday night, Brett Nesbitt. The Nesbitt Racing Engines, Brett Nesbitt, hopped in little Mikey Bloomfield's truck, took the booster seat out, and got the win over John Matera. John Matera, also the same guy that runnered up in Friday's Gambler. The Abruzzi 10K finale, Tucker Creech, got the win over Kent Sessoms, and they were, I would say, first-time Loose Rocker winner and runner-up. Neither one of those guys have been to a Loose Rocker final round to date. Obviously, Tucker's the one I ran first round, and he was 4-2 and inadequate. We talked about that a little earlier. Didn't faze him. He said it pissed him off. Obviously, I need somebody to lay down nothing total next to me first round of a race somewhere, please. You know, make me somewhere close and make me feel like I had a chance. But yeah, so Tucker getting it done in the family Nova. Kent Sessoms in a IROC Camaro going like 520s.
Mm-hmm.
And it just wasn't the weekend for 520 door cars in final rounds. Because Chris Dean was going 520s in the Chevy 2 Saturday, and I don't know what happened. He had a bad light or it spun or something, but... Tommy Pilott showed him not the car, definitely the drivers. But
man, it looked like the racing all weekend was just nasty. And you saw the one ticket where it was triple zero dead on one versus 001 dead on zero.
Yeah, and if that's me and I hear that before I get to the turnoff, I'm just going to keep driving. You know, just so you know. And really, the racing was cutthroat. You know, I'm not saying Gallot was a different event. I mean, Gallot obviously is a different event. For me, I pulled in the lanes a heck of a lot better at Gallot than I did at Piedmont, but, you know, it's crazy that the level of competition we're at these days, you can be a thousandth of a second away from perfect and lose. It's like, hold on a minute. I've never laid down a perfect run in my life, and if I'm one total and lose, I'm done. I'm out. Just go ahead, hang it up.
Just pick up golf or fishing or something, right? I mean, it's just at that point, yeah, that's, man, what a lap for both of those guys. You know, and I guess I think on the other side of it, you're the guy that has a losing time slip there. Man, you can't hang your head. If you keep swinging like that, the wins are going to come. You know, but, man, that is some nasty, nasty racing and awesome time slip to see posted. That was crazy.
Yeah, that's what I told Tucker. I said, man, I said, you were just 4-2. I said, go out there and do it again. I said, just keep doing it. I said, I'm not going to be around later to do it again, so you can just keep doing it. And he's like, you're right. He's mad at first, obviously, but he's good. He's young. He shook it off and crazy. That was probably a run I'll never forget. I think I'm going to keep the time slip if they didn't throw it away already.
With that, we'll go down to Texas. The Texas Triple Tens again. Down at the Motorplex. So Friday, no box. Our esteemed guest for this podcast, we have not mentioned yet, Jake Howard, taking the win on Friday in no box over Blair McNutt. And Friday on the box side was Kurt Harvey over Mike Crater. Kurt Harvey taking the 10K win in his dragster. Friday shootout, no box final was Kevin Martin taking the win over Cody Leslie, and they had a box shootout as well, and in the final was Kurt Harvey again taking the win over Austin Tablock. So shout out to Kurt Harvey taking two wins off the top bulb in the same day. In the final round in the shootout, he was 000 dead 9, and then in the other lane was 007 dead 5. yeah, nasty,
no big deal.
Nasty stuff. So they had to call off Saturday's race. I know everybody was probably looking at the weather this weekend, tornadoes and all kinds of crazy stuff going through Texas and other states as well. So they called off Saturday because the weather was moving through, doubled up the purses for Sunday. No box final saw Troy Morgan taking the win over, take a guess, some guy named Jake Howard. In the final, yet again, we mentioned every week, he is just making this Triple 10 series his playground. So not only that, Jake had to run himself in the semis. So very, very close to taking the winner and the runner-up spot there for Jake Howard on Sunday. And on the box side, saw Coy Collier taking the win over Hunter Patton in a 20K final for Sunday with the doubled up purse there. So shout out to Coy for getting it done.
Yeah, and Coy's been really knocking on the door lately, not only on the big money bracket scene, but at the NHRA side too. He's driving really well. So good to see him get it done. Honey Wayne made a final round appearance, and he's been quiet. It's not like Hunter Patton to be as quiet as he has been. I know he's been doing a whole bunch of stuff that's not racing related, but he's tough. And, you know, obviously Coy wasn't taking him lightly. He was 9 in the final. I would imagine if Hunter turned it green, he could go anywhere from 52 to 53-ish. He styled 55, so it would have been a pretty good smoke show at the finish line. Coy doesn't really dial honest ever.
Right, and Hunter 001 red in the final.
Yeah,
just throw that in there because for good measure, because, yeah, he almost had it.
And you know, that doesn't hurt as – I mean, it hurts, don't get me wrong, but it doesn't hurt as bad. I turned it red over the weekend, and my dude was 62 red – or 62 green in the other lane.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's – I think I'd rather see a 9 or something impressive in the other lane, thinking, you know, I'd have to work for it really anyway, not let off half track and coast.
Oh,
yeah.
And also, I want to give a shout-out to Paige Hamlin again, getting us these results. And, you know, other race promoters out there, once your results read, want us to get them out there, man, if you send us, you know, send us a PDF, send us a file where we can download it and pull it up really quick, then it's awesome. So big shout-out to Paige for doing that for us for all the Triple Tens races. We really appreciate it.
So the guy that's been red hot for like 3 years in a row, the guy that they're going to rename Texas Motorplex to Howard Motorsports Complex here soon, the guy that hasn't lost a Triple Tens race since Christ was a kid, is on the way to Memphis. Jake Howard, man, what is going on?
Oh, man, we're here sweating in Memphis with everybody else. I don't know what the heck they put in the grass or the soil here, but whatever it is, fumates moisture.
Well, just kind of give us everybody listening, we scheduled this podcast to record today, and let everybody know what you guys are doing at the moment.
So, per normal, we get somewhere to race, and as long as there's a Sandlin or something that Eric Sandlin owns, we're working on it. And it's not that he doesn't keep up with this stuff, it's just that Eric has some kind of voodoo curse that he doesn't deserve.
We're always
out working on something that either he owns or that he's a part of, or if there's something that's broke on the racetrack or somebody's broke at the racetrack, you will see Eric Sandlin in a pile of tools wherever you go.
So the
rod fell out of the trailer door on one side of his old Stidham trailer. This thing is ancient, okay? It's like an ancient relic that you'd find in a tome somewhere in Egypt. And it's actually a really nice Stidham trailer. You won't find a better built trailer than a Stidham for the money that you'll spend on a trailer, but it is heavy, and when they break, you've got to pick every piece part up on it and try and bang it back together, and that's what we were doing.
Jake, we got to get you and Eric Sandlin together. I swear, it sounds like you guys are
long-lost
relatives.
Whenever I went and announced the Triple Tens, Sandlin lost a hub on his trailer. No joke. He actually lost a wheel hub on his trailer. The bearing or something smoked, and that was my problem for the longest time. You know, I quit popping tires. I just lost the wheel hub and everything. So
right.
We don't need to be in the same area anytime soon because, you know, Eric is busy enough. We don't need to add to that.
Yeah, it's always maybe somehow go home for Eric Sandlin.
Right. I was thinking maybe that would somehow take the voodoo curse off both of them at once if we get them together, but I don't know.
Yeah, that didn't happen.
So, Jake, if you will, just kind of start us off by tell us about yourself a little bit, how you got to where you're at in racing.
Well, I mean, you guys interviewed Max last week, and we've kind of always run on a parallel. We both started about the same time at the age of 7/8. Our dads both raced Pontiacs at the time, and it is a funny story. Max and I were about the only two juniors when we first started that had gas carburetors on it. Of course, me being 7, 8 years old, I'm walking around looking for people that are like me. And there's Max, even though he's about waist high to me, he was the only one with the gas carburetor, said Mad Max. We kind of hit it off there from the get-go, and my dad raced Pontiacs, and his dad raced Pontiacs. It's always grown up being real good, you know, through the years.
So Mad Max obviously had a story of, you know, the car that kind of made him or made him put him on the map in the racing world. It was this 115-mile-an-hour super street car. And I think that it's fair to say that your Pontiac kind of, it didn't put you on the map because you were there, but anybody that sees the Pontiac knows that's Jake Howard, and you just go ahead and write the name on the check. So kind of tell us your progression on that thing, and are you going to open a paint and body business anytime soon?
Not anytime soon, but I'm still working on it. The check's in the mail, so to speak. But as far as the Pontiac, you know, my dad actually owned this car since 1994. I'm 30 years old now, and once we built, we started building the car, I was 14. My dad actually got the car running when I was about 13. He did a dry hop in the driveway and broke one of the lifters in the in the factory block. And needless to say, this car is one of 317 made, and that was a numbers matching block. And it's still usable, but that was just kind of where it all started, was my dad doing the dry hop in the driveway, breaking. He's like, well, I was going to buy you a race car, but now we're going to build this this block. I'm not going to sell it to anybody else, even though Richard Rawlings would lick me from the chode up. to get a car like this these days. It's a six-figure car when it's restored right, and we're at the racetrack with it, and it's just kind of progressed through the years to where it's become what it is. And it's funny looking back at all the pics from when I was 15, 16, and we started racing this car, and where it is now. And it's obviously been a progression, to say the least. You know, my dad started racing Pontiacs, so needless to say, I was going to get a Pontiac whether I liked it or not. But growing up, I always, like most people, following your dad's footsteps, you look up to your old man. I love my dad to death. And so it always makes me proud being able to come out here and continue on with something that he started years ago.
I think Zach and I can agree with stuck with what your dad gave you, because Zach's dad has a Chevy too, and he also has a Chevy too, and I've got a Vega wagon that my dad drove back in the day. So, you know, it's crazy how it progresses like that. I'm just glad you don't have a dragster, really.
Man, dragsters are boring. Don't get me started on dragsters.
Oh, man. Shot heard around the world right there.
So, Jake, I mean, we're talking every single week covering the Texas Triple Tens and races down in your region all the time. And I mean, your name comes up in the finals, bracket finals, everything. If it's the final round, you seem to be in it, which is amazing. So if you can, I mean, share this a little bit. How do you maintain your level of focus? Is it, you know, a pre-race routine, some type of music you listen to, some type of voodoo hex you put on your opponents? What is your, how do you keep it all locked in, so to speak?
And shout out Bobo Marshall, because he always says, I got a voodoo doll in this car. But I mean, at least for me, the last 3 or 4 years, it's more or less just been preparation. When I was a little bit younger, you just kind of throw everything together and go out there last minute. You could ask anybody. I'd be the last one rolling through the gates. I'd be unstrapping my crap whenever time trials are just about over and they're about to call first round, and everything would just kind of be scattered from there on out. And that's not to say I didn't go any rounds or do any good, but I just feel like as I've grown up, and obviously my wife has helped me along the way, kind of keep my concentration and keep things straight for me and say we need to be ready and blah, blah, blah. I have the car ready every week, 2 days beforehand. I look over everything, and more or less it's just preparation, I think, more than anything that's helped me along the way.
So that kind of rolls into my question. It's no secret that your wife plays a big role in your racing program. I know she's finishing school and starting a business of her own and whatnot, but kind of explain, you know, how important and how vital an aspect she is in that program, because she's kind of the glue that holds it all together. You're just the dummy that holds the steering wheel.
Yeah, I got the easy job. She's got to deal with me and then deal with my frustrations with the car and my bad attitude at times when I come in because I can't get a bolt started. But yeah, man, she's been a rock. I couldn't ask for anything better. She's always out in the garage helping me. She's always, you know, making sure that if we're going somewhere long, that I've got the hotel booked, I've got clean laundry, I've got my logbook where I want it. Everything's where I'm used to having it. You know, everything's within arm's reach. Yeah, she's been incredible, man. I imagine doing this without her. It'd be real tough.
So, Jake, I would imagine if you asked a lot of racers this question, their answer to it would be your name. But I wanted to ask, do you have any racer out there that you strive to, I don't know, emulate or be like? And if so, why?
It's a tough question. I mean, I've always looked up to my dad throughout all these years. You know, not many people hear about him now because he doesn't race a whole lot anymore. But he'll come back one of these days. Back in his day, he was really tough to beat. Go out there, and this was when we ran quarter mile out here back in the late 2000s. You know, through the 2000s into the early 2010s, he would, you know, regularly throw up a 30 total better lap in foot break. And that's, you know, I mean, you know well as I do, even if you're 15 and one over with a two, that's still a pretty solid lap no matter where you're at in the country. Did that on the regular in the long track. You know, I've always looked at my dad, and Troy Morgan's another one. Not only does show real well results on the racetrack, but off the track, he's the guy that everybody kind of flocks because he does so much for the sport. Everybody wants to be around Troy. He's always got a smile. He's always got some quote that throws you in the left field, and it kind of makes you step back and think, you know, it could be worse. Troy's been through a lot in his life. I know Troy a lot better than a lot of people do at the racetrack, and I would like to be in a position like where he's at, where I can do so much for the sport and help the sport grow, help the younger crowd get excited about it, bring excitement back to bracket racing. And that's really where I think the sport needs to go in the long run.
I'll tell you what, Troy Morgan is tougher than a $2 steak, okay? That dude just doesn't have any quit in him at all.
Never.
So, kind of along Zach's guideline there of you know, who you try to emulate, you're in an area of, for lack of better terms, ballsy race car driver, okay? Who's the most fun person for you to watch on the racetrack?
The most fun.
Like, who's the guy that you know...
Just around here, everywhere.
Anywhere. Rolls up in the semifinal round, and you're like, man, I want to go to the finish line and watch this. Because I can think of four people on the top of my head that are pretty pretty wild just from your area.
I'll start with my area first, and one is Max because you just never know what you're going to get with him, and two is Chad because he's going to make it either tight or he's going to get behind and put it dead on somehow, even if he's not holding. And anywhere around the country, I mean, Nick Hastings is my number one on East I've ever made just because I've been in the other lane next to the guy numerous times, and he makes the race look different to me every time, and, you know, you've got to be ready for it. You can't just go up there with a – I have to execute my plan. I have to not pay attention to what he's doing, and that's where I think a lot of people get caught up in the moment is they're worried about what the other guy's doing in the other lane, and Nick Hastings does it better than anybody.
Yeah, and Nick's one of those guys you cannot go to the starting line with a 3,000 under wide open mentality because you're in trouble big
right,
time.
Right.
Yeah, I was just thinking along the lines of like the picture that went viral of Tomcat smoking the Goodyears in the dragster at quarter mile long track stuff, and, you know, Bird dialing, you know, 3/10 above and just wheel hanging a wheel and stuff like that. And, you know, that happens around here every now and then, but it happens in Texas like every weekend.
Yeah, Bird's really good at doing something goofy. Like, I've always joked with the Division 5 guys. They've always got the long throw buttons, the stripe takers. They leave in high gear, and they're going 6-0s at 132 miles an hour. And it's like, where do you guys come up with this crap? And Bird does it on the regular. He might go up there, dial a 488 one pass, and then the next pass he's dialed 530, leaving in high gear, going 155 miles an hour. How do you prepare for something like that? You're in the other lane. You're just like, well, maybe they got to dial down one and make a time run or hope for the best.
Have you ever stood behind Burge Dragster whenever he hit the override?
No, but he's got about a 600 shot in it. And yeah, that's a circle move.
Exactly.
Hold on a minute. Come back around.
That's right. Yeah, we're more important. Keep riding around.
Yeah. Autographs are $5.
That was Opie and Matt Nowling.
So like, I was at Montgomery, and Bird showed up late, as always, you know, and he hops in first round, and you see the bottle come on in this thing, and you hear it go to the rev limiter, and it's nothing but, like, fire coming out of, like, all orifices at the same time.
Even the carburetor, he didn't mean to come out of that hole either.
Yeah, and he gets back to the trailer, and he's like, yeah, it's making a noise. I'm sitting here thinking, I wonder why. I don't have no idea why that thing would make a noise after you just sprayed the balls out of it, and it, you know, 8,200, like, real quick.
I think I got a lifter going down.
or seven.
Yeah, all of them.
Well, you kind of hinted a little bit to a list there when you mentioned Nick Hastings, and I wanted to put you on the spot a little bit. Can you give us a top 5 foot brake list right now? Not all time, but currently.
And if you're not putting yourself in this list, go ahead and keep it to yourself.
I don't ever put myself in any list.
Okay, we're going to say you're number 5 then. Give us the top.
Number 1 is like I mentioned previously, is Nick. I have to go with probably Charlie and Lucas just because Charlie always hits the ball really well. And this is in no order. And Chad Sandler, I put Chad up against anybody. And Max has a, what do you call that?
First alternate?
The honorable mention.
Mm-hmm. He's probably there with you right now, isn't he?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I could go on forever. I can't really name a top. Jed and Luke made me do the top 25 list for them. I was one of their cast members, and, man, it's mm-hmm. really tough. I had to think about everybody back to, you know, Peter Biondo, who's awesome in just mm-hmm. about anything you put him in. He's a master. Jeff Heffler's always really good. Austin Williams, as solid as you can get, foot breaking in anything. Ernie Humes, obviously, he's what cashed in a 20K and a 40K. You can't ignore that. Man, I could go on.
What about Ryan Gleghorn?
Ryan Gleghorn, never heard of her. Gleghorn does a foot break, man. He swapped over the dark side. He's using one of those sissy sticks.
Oh, here we go. Yeah, I hear you.
Well, we still love him.
So, I have an honest question here. Where did the name Patches come from?
This is a funny story. So, back at Tommy's race, when my car was down, I was driving Eric's truck.
We're talking about Tommy Phillips' Lone Star Summer Shootout,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, okay. That's it. I was... Me and Chad had both lost already. Eric was the only one left. And I just happened to go over there and say, there's a song called Patches by Clarence Carter, if you never heard of it. It's back in the 70s. It was one of the Billboard hits. But Eric was the last one left in. I said, Patches, we're dependent on you, son. And that was part of the song. Well, Eric lost the next round. But we went to Bristol. I was taking this truck to Bristol the next week. And Eric's middle name is Delton. And so what I wrote on one of my tech cards was Patches Delton. Because Patches, we're dependent on you, son. And Jim Gleason, he didn't know at the time that I was driving. He didn't know me. Not that I'm anybody to know, but I was up there announcing with Jim some throughout the weekend, and we got to know each other a little bit. And he's like, oh, you're Patches. I was like, well, my name's Jake Howard, but yeah, I wrote Patches Delton as a joke on the tech card. And so as a week goes on, he would come up. I would pull up to the lanes. I went back and watched the live feed, and he goes, and in the left lane, there's old Patch. And so from that point on, I started writing Patches on my tech card. and it just kind of stuck with me.
So who would you say is your toughest competitor?
It's always Chad, because he'll say the same, I think, about me, that I bring out the best in him and he brings out the best in me. If we're not 20 total or better, then one of us either went red or, you know, wasn't looking at the tree or something goofy happened.
Sprayed and got a whole lot behind.
Yeah, but usually, I mean, we always have throwdown laps, and it's been that way since 2013, since I graduated college. I think I raced him a freaking weekend, and we went back and forth and back and forth and back and forth, and it was always, it seemed, like I said, 20 total or better in both lanes, and it was just, and together, I think we've made each other better along the way as well.
Yeah, you guys definitely threw down the weekend I was there. And if I'm not mistaken, weren't you, you were in the other lane with Chad. You were down to six with him whenever he laid down nothing, right?
No, he was in Super Pro then. But
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
I think that Sunday you were there, that Sunday he beat me. I was six and he was 19. And he rolls up on me and starts ripping from behind, and I'm not even looking. I'm looking, but I'm like, what's he? He's getting behind. Okay, well, I'm not breaking out, and I just leg it. And I take 19 and put it three little ones under. And
makes you want to just keep on driving until you find the beach.
Yeah, right? I almost want to just drive it off into the sand trap. And leave it there. But it was, I mean, it was totally my fault. I got no excuse. The car had been really good all day. I mean, really, really good. And I let it down. The weather started cooling off a little bit. Started, you know, the track was really good all weekend, but it's even better once the sun comes off of it. My 60, it was really all in 60 foot. It picked up 5,060 foot and it carried it all the way through. But like I said, I got no excuses. The race was in front of me. It was mine to lose, and I lost it. Chad won it.
At least he made it. I mean, he made it count at the end of the day, really.
Yeah, I mean, he was 19 dead three there against me, I think, if I did my math right. And then he was, what, seven total against Lucas in the final? So, yeah, I mean, what do you do?
At least
he protected our home turf, and that's our goal. When these guys come from out of town, it's like, man, this is our home turf. We got to protect it. And so far, I think we've done a good job of it.
And I did talk to Lucas yesterday, and he said that Charlie told him he needed to start pulling his weight. And he said, hey, I've been to Gulfport and I've been to Texas, and you know, I broke in Darlington. He said, let's go, come on. And that's, you're right, because Lucas, he struggled really all weekend, and he laid down like 12 or 13 total, and Chad said, have a nice trip.
Yeah. Yeah. Lucas, he got a little bit of Texas that weekend. He's always welcome back. We always love cutting the money up with him.
So at one point on Facebook, I think you gave me hell for liking Busch Light. So that's my question. What's your favorite beer?
Oh, God. Don't even get him started.
Jake already knows the answer to
this. Listen to this, Zach. Let me answer this for you. So the beer that Jake Howard drinks comes out of the brewery already skunked.
Oh, man, that's the best beer on the planet. They ought to sponsor me, you know. Shout out Shiner Bock. They ought to sponsor me, because I give away so much of this stuff to people out of town, and they love it. Jake Hodge was the black sheep in this whole ordeal. Like, I've given it to Jordan Wilhelm. I've given it to...
Well, hold on a minute. You've given it out because there ain't no way in hell you could sell it.
Oh, hell, I could sell a bunch of it.
Well, and in all reality, it wasn't terrible. I just don't really drink a whole lot. It was better than the beer I could buy out there, because I didn't.
Chad drinks goat piss, so I can't really fault him for not having any taste for beer. Hell, even Max drinks Shiner Bock.
Oh, man, that explains it.
He drank more of my beer than Eric Chandler normally does last weekend.
That means he didn't go a whole lot of rounds.
Well, Saturday was a rainout, so that's about all we did was sit around and drink beer. And I mean,
it still worked out, didn't it?
Max helped me make sure I didn't get way too much.
So when is the last time you lost a race, and were you old enough to remember it?
I lose races all the time, man. I lose rounds left and right. I lose more than I win, I promise.
I don't. Yeah, I'm not sure about that, because your round record this year is probably 104.
Man, I've lost a lot more than that. Hell, I lost, what was it, the third race, or the second race of the Texas Triple Tens on that Sunday. I was no worse than 24 in the first four rounds. And I did win first and second round, but I left second. You know, I was behind at the tree. And then second round, I went bang, bang. I was 13 and 21 and behind at the tree both times and lost. And then I bought $150 worth of lotto tickets, because I said, you know what? I was going to run the shootout anyway, so I'll buy $150 worth of lotto tickets. And that's when I ended up getting three red lights in a row. And then I got to buy. And then I ran Chad Sandlin, and he strapped it on me. So my luck ran out, in other words.
Man, if my top bulb spread could match your bottom bulb spread, I'd be all right.
Hey, you did pretty well over there in Galat, man. I was watching.
Yeah, you said something about
piece of equipment, too.
Yeah, you said something about three red lights in a row. That was my life storying a lot, okay? I was really good when I had to be. And when my guys were red, I was not anywhere in the ballpark thinking I was crushing it. So you'll have that.
I mean, had the guys turned it green, it'd have been a really good race anyway. I was there all three times or whatever, but you know, it's always good to make it a little easier on me. I mean, my car's running the number and I'm hitting the tree well. Things usually go pretty well for me, but it's always good to get a little luck when you need it.
So as I mentioned earlier, you know, you're currently at Memphis International Raceway, getting ready for the Great American Bracket Racing Dream Team Challenge. So tell us a little bit about your team, man. I mean, I know, sir, there's some side betting going on in Footbreak that I saw. People are putting up some money. Are you getting involved in any of that?
Side bet, man. I'm not made of money. I can't put up money. I'm guaranteed to lose. Not that I have all the faith in the world in my team, boys. I mean, obviously our team is myself, Chaz Sandlin, Max, Kevin Martin, and Jeff Rydell. So I feel pretty good about our chances. Obviously, Lucas has got a really strong team. There's a lot of other strong teams out here. You know, West and Kyle Rumley and Cool Seminole. Those guys murder the tree every time they stage. So it's going to be a bloodbath, and we're looking forward to getting knee-deep in it.
Give me one team that you would rather face later than sooner.
I mean, honestly, I'd probably rather face the strongest team that there is. If we beat them, we've got a lot of momentum going for us, and you feel like you've got the best of the best out of the way early.
Yep. I got to say I would agree there, although I'm looking at the Richardson team on the top bulb side, and if we draw them first round and take them out, man, that would be awesome. That's gonna be a tough squad to overcome. It's like Scotty, Edmund, both the Richardson boys, and Brad Plord.
You know, there's only like 16 world championships there. There's nothing to worry about.
Yeah, Brad's really, really, really good. He's another one that's always fun to watch at the finish line because he's always got something up his sleeve.
Yeah, he's made me look really stupid before.
He doesn't hurt anybody, so don't feel special.
Which it isn't real hard to do for the first part of that. Yeah, I've raced him a couple of times. And I'm like, what just happened? What did you do?
Sometimes he doesn't know, but he sure does make it look good, doesn't he?
Yeah, he just looked at me and said, turn the wind light on, obviously.
Yeah. He's not one guy to bloat on. He's a really, really good racer in anything you put him in. If I were to make a utility list, then top, no doubt.
Oh, absolutely. We're going to kind of give you the floor here. Anybody that I know, you have a lot of people that make this thing happen for you. Don't be like Chad Sandlin and forget. So if you could do this now and we'll add it in later, let's do that now.
All right. So first off, obviously, it's my family, my wife, my dad, my mom. They've been through me through thick and thin. They've helped put all the pieces together from start to finish. Everything the car's become, they've had a hand in it. Obviously, Wendell Dunaway with Mr. Wendell's Motorsports. He's done a lot for me throughout the year. Not only does he supply me with badass transmissions, which compliments BTE and all those guys, but he's done a number on the car. He's always give me advice on what to do next. He wants to break down the numbers with me. I mean, Max told you all this, and Wendell's done the same with me. I've always been real close with Wendell since, I don't know when it was, 2014 or so. But yeah, I mean, he helped me rewire the whole car. We got all the wire nuts out of this. I think when we finished with rewiring the car, there was like 27 wire nuts we took out of this thing, and there's not a wire nut left on it.
Wire nuts?
Yes, wire nuts. Like, it was, I told you I used to be unprepared. Yeah, that was a big big factor in it. Was I'd rather hang out with my buddies all week and go hang out with them and, you know, kick shit in the yard or whatever. And when it come to racing, I'd be home Friday afternoon. I'd be out rewiring stuff or wiring something in that broke, and I would just wire nut it, and okay, well, it works, and go on down the road.
My man.
Obviously, BTE's been a big major sponsor for me as well, with Brandon Barentine and those guys. I mean, they've done unrelentless things for me. They've bent over backwards to help me make this car what it is as far as drivetrain components, the converter I've got in this thing. I mean, it flashes to 5250 every time, according to my data logger. Mickey Thompson came on board me 2018, they came on board. Buddy and Mickey Thompson, the boys over there, they've been great. The Pro Bracket Radial is where it's at. If you don't have a 29.5, 10.5 on your car, I bet you put the sucker on a dragster and probably print slips a 60-foot.
I know a guy that put one on a 460 car and it worked.
Oh, I bet it would. They developed these things on ProMods, no joke.
Yep, absolutely.
And obviously, Troy Morgan's been a huge inspiration to me, not only my racing operation, but outside of races, taking me to Darlington, South Carolina to race for the biggest purse I've ever been a part of. He's been awesome. Jeremy Falkenbach, he's the one that's always given me a sportsman ride at the Bracket Finals, his truck or the El Camino. He's been over backwards to help me and done a lot of testing on his own when I'm not at the track to try and give me the best ride possible, to give me the best chance. Nitrous Express, they came on board last year, and after driving Eric's truck, it was almost a must-have. It's a really good tool to have. Their plate kit, second to none. They got an alcohol plate kit. I can spray it with alcohol. I don't take hardly any timing out. I've got over 750 passes on my motor, and it doesn't smoke a lick.
What was that made? That sound in the background, did you just knock on wood? Because you know who you're talking to, right?
Knock on wood? Yeah, I need some wood, huh?
If I can get 75 out of mine, I am feeling like a champ.
75 is a good way to start, but we need to multiply it by 10.
Well, that is about multiplied by 10 of what I normally get. So 75.
Oh, no. another guy I'd like to give a special shout out to is Wes May and Justin Daniels. They've done a lot for me throughout the years. In the last couple of years, more than anything, is I always bounce ideas off of Wes, and it's funny how we kind of feed off each other. We'll talk about one thing, we'll get to talking about it, and he'll say, you know what, I didn't think of that. And then we'll start talking back and forth again, and I'll say, you know, I didn't think of that. And next thing we know, we both change stuff on our car, and we go out to the track, and it works good. They've got one of the best carburetors on the market. Max finally put one on his after we've been beating it into his head for the last 2 years. I don't think he got any shorter, but we beat it into his head the best we could. And they put out a great product. Their customer service is second to none. I could text Wes any time of night, any time of day. He always responds and gives me advice.
Did you hear Luke and Jed's interview with Wes?
I did. Yeah, it was really good.
That was awesome. I'm pretty good friends with Wes, and I know Wes pretty well. And that was 100%. Him and his dad are exactly like what was said. And I used to, every time I would lose wheel bearings and trailer hubs and whatnot, I'd always end up at the same racetrack as Gary May. And I knew he had a die for the trailer hub. So I'd always rethread my trailer hub and put a new one on it and say, thanks, Gary, take it back. And well, he ended up charging me about 3 cases of Michelob Ultra. So
that's cheap.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I dolled up his nice sharp trailer die for the hub spindle. And you're right. Wes is always trying to think outside the box, and he's not afraid to try anything.
Yeah, and it's funny you mentioned that, because I think Wes and I operate on the same wavelength a lot of times. We're always trying to get something to make something better. And I got that a lot from not only my dad, but from Eric Sandlin. Shout out Eric Sandlin. He's done a lot of work on this car also. Whenever I blew my motor up in 2017, I drove the Love Truck for the latter half of the season or more. We dreamed up a lot of things to do with this car to make it better. And obviously by my logbooks that it's a machine, and he's got a big hand in it.
So we're going to close this thing out. First of all, what is it like to be Riley Howard's long-lost brother?
I guess you got that from Max?
No, I actually have zero dirt on you from any of your friends, because today has been one of those days. I didn't even have time to message anybody. But Riley's he's quite the social butterfly lately.
Oh, he always rolls around that scooter with the smoke trail coming out the back of it, killing skeeters. But yeah, he loves everybody, man. He's just a lover. He'd rather hug on people than fight them. And me and Riley, we go way back. And a lot of people, you still to this day, even though they've been around us for so many years in this area or DFW, they still think we're related. It's like, well, where's your brother, your cousin? So we're not really, but we might as well be. We both drive third gens or something, or second gens of something or other. The same GM. But yeah, Riley's a really good heart. He's a really good guy. He'll do anything for anybody. I'd be honored that you mentioned me in the same sense with Riley. Now, although his dog does poop in my pit from time to time.
give me one person. I've mentioned Drew Porcher quite a bit, because I think he's a really, really quiet, very good bottom bulb racer out of Texas. Absolutely. That doesn't really travel much. Give me one guy that, if he had access to funds to travel, would excel on the big stage out of the DFW Texas area.
And let me think. Justin Cervantes is pretty good, and Jeremy Falkenbach's also really good. One guy. That's tough. There's so many good ones, man, that don't really get around. There's so many good ones that wouldn't come to something like this, but they'll go to the Motorplex races, and they'll go to XRP, or they'll go to Noble or Ardmore, but they won't come east. And Justin and Jeremy are my top, especially when Justin's in the Chevelle. He won a $10,000 race that Troy and I put on in Arkansas, I guess two years ago now in 2017. And he was perfect back to back with from the quarterfinals on. I think he's 7-0-0-0, and guess who he ran in the final? Nick Hayes. And he's 002. Strapped it on Nick. He was 002 and won over with a 1. So when he's in his uncle Chevelle, yeah, he's really tough to beat. We're still trying to work out some gremlins with his car, and the same with Jeremy a little bit. We're trying to get his 60-foot tightened up, and once they do, they're not scared to travel. I think they're just a little little kind of on edge for the time being because they don't trust their equipment. So we're trying to get it there for
them. So the I told you one last thing, but I actually had another thought. Kind of explain to people what the bracket racing scene was like before this the Texas Triple Tens came about, because I know that the area bracket scene is struggling and they're going to index stuff quite a bit, and you really don't have a whole lot of big money stuff going on.
We used to have the Texas Motorplex put on a really good bracket program. I would say last year, the GM kind of stepped on our comm director's wee-wee a little bit, just because he'd get on the Facebook page, complain about stuff. And you know how bracket racers get real defensive, and it's probably a little bit back and forth. It's not all his fault. It's not all the bracket racer's fault. But it's more or less that, you know, people are stubborn. They like to beat bang heads a little bit. But I felt like we had a really good program. It was $60 to enter and $1,200 to win. And we'd have the first like 3 weekends, we had 70 cars in no box and 110 plus in Super Pro. And then the bickering started going back and forth. And people were like, well, I'm not going to go there. It's like, man, are we trying to grow this sport together or not? You know, we need to stick together because bracket racing is a dying breed if nobody shows up. If we don't support the programs that are around us, it's like we'd rather complain and sit at home and watch the news than just sell all your crap to somebody who will use
it. Right, and you know, that Texas Raceway is an example of exactly that.
Oh, man, I don't even start on that whole ordeal. That's just a whole mess, but the dirt track across the street is still operating, if that says anything.
Yep, I understand that. Anyway, good luck in Memphis this weekend, to you and your team, for that matter. Zach's going to be there. I'm going to stay around the house this weekend, so I will see you around soon. I think I'll be in Texas in October for the last Triple Tens, I think is what the consensus was. I don't know if you're going to hop in the July 4th race for 50 grand, but I assume you're going to the WFC, right?
No, I'll be at the July race. It's hard to pass up. It's hard to pass up a race that's an hour from the house that's $2,500 less a day.
And yeah, versus 50 grand to win. Know, yeah.
Right. Well, I don't top bulb, so.
I'm sure you could swim in that pool.
Maybe for a round or two, but I wouldn't last long. I'm a minnow in a shark pool at that point.
Yeah. Kevin Pollard tells me the same thing.
Oh man, yeah, I can't swim with those guys, but it'll be fun to watch. I'll probably be up there announcing.
Yeah, cause I think
that stuff too.
I think Leghorn and I will be in Bristol. So anyway, good luck. You'll see Zach this weekend somewhere. If he breaks something, can you help him out? Because I feel bad for rubbing off on him. I really do.
Well, I mean, if you come over here by the sandals, we're guaranteed to work on anything.
Yeah,
well, there you go.
In an expedited fashion, even.
Oh, absolutely. We got tools. We got jacks. We'll have a team of 12 hands over here. So yeah, bring it on. If you need help, man, we got you. No big deal.
Well, I appreciate that, man, and look forward to shaking your head this weekend. We'll be headed over there. I won't be there till really late, probably more like early Saturday morning, but in time enough for the Dream Team race. So, but yeah, thanks a lot for joining us, Jake. Pleasure talking to you, man. You know, and wish you the best of luck. I mean, the streak that you are on is ungodly, unhuman. And but I want to see you keep it up, and then we'll have you back on here again.
I appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me, and I hope I can continue this streak of luck. So thanks again, and can't wait to talk to you, Zach. So safe travels, and I'll see you tomorrow sometime.
Sounds good. All right, so for this weekend's In Motion Solutions final round, we are going to talk about a race promoter and track manager that definitely has the racer's best interest in mind, and basically how do I want to put this? He gets it done when it needs to be done. So we're going to talk a little bit about Bill Bader, and Jake was just telling me the story. I hadn't heard it yet. So Jake, why don't you go ahead and tell us what Bill did over the weekend?
So the Cavalcade of Stars was at Summit Motorsports Park this weekend. It's the divisional. They have a whole bunch of cool stuff going on throughout the weekend. They've still got, you know, dollar a pound ice cream, which is crazy awesome.
Yeah.
But, you know, on the weather side, obviously in the Midwest, it did not look feasible for anybody anywhere to race at all. And Bill Bader said, you know, we sat down and I looked with the division director, Will Tharp. He said, we don't have a reschedule date. We don't have a chance to reschedule this event. This is a one-time-a-year event, and we will get it in. This is what we're going to do. And he was very public. He was very intuitive on Facebook saying, hey, just so you guys know, we're going to hold you here for a little bit longer. And he even drew up a battle plan, a picture on his Facebook page.
Yep, I'm looking at this right now.
That shows how many rigs can fit where, the red spots where no rigs will be parked, and what rigs are to be parked where. They're even numbered, okay? And it has dimensions, okay? So he rented steamrollers to obviously try to get the moisture out of the ground, roll it out on the road, pack the ground down as hard as you can get it, and get people in there and parked. All right. So Jacob Elrod posted a update, and I'm going to pull it up right here because I want to read it word for word. He said, so people were obviously giving them a hard time, saying, man, you're wasting our time. You know, we're ready to go home. Just don't, you know, call it. You know, we're on our way there. Just call it so we can turn around now. Jacob Elrod said, and I quote, in case any internet trolls were wondering, Bobby Bader, which is Bill's wife, Bill Bader, and Evan Bader are still parking new rigs rolling in the gate at 12:03 a.m. It's called putting money where your mouth is, taking care of customers first, being humble and getting the job done, knowing the full weekend and how many hours they still have to put in before Sunday night. When you see them at the North Central Division 3 event this weekend, give them a high five. Absolutely. Give them a hug. Tell them thank you. Like, holy cow. Any other track in the nation, I don't care who it is, where it is, would have said, hey, we can't do it. We'll try again next year. But Bill Bader takes pride in his events. He takes pride in his facility. He takes pride in the brand that he has built. And he is not afraid to flex the dollar muscle and say, hey, we're getting this done. Yeah, it's not financially beneficial to me, but we're getting this done. And we're parking race cars and we're going racing this weekend for a North Central Division 3 divisional weekend. And he did just that. So I know there's not a whole lot of track owners, track promoters, track managers in the world that have the budget, but it costs $0 to make an effort. I'm not saying there's tracks that don't make efforts. I'm not calling anybody out. I'm just saying that there is something to be learned from Bill and Evan and Bill and Bobby Bader this weekend. That's it.
Yep.
And you should, I mean, they've got a $40,000 bracket race Labor Day weekend. Go to it. Go hang out. Go race for 40 grand at the nicest quarter mile facility in probably the Midwest and almost the nation. You know, it's hard to fight with, you know, like facilities like Bristol or Vegas or even ZMAX for that matter. But it's an incredible facility, great family. And, you know, he even went out on the limb. They had an alcohol racer's wife or girlfriend or daughter or something call in and say, hey, you know, good MFers, why are we doing this? Can we just make up our mind? Can we get this done and over with? And she called and cussed out one of Bill's employees. So Bill hops on the old Facebook, okay? And this is the track owner that he is. He says, after he receives word from his employee saying, hey, so-and-so called and, you know, cursed me and called me this and said that we're no good and yada, yada, yada. So, says, for the one unknown alcohol racer who called our office screaming and swearing at my newly hired receptionist, my cell number is yada, yada, yada. Don't ever speak to a member of my team like that again. Take that. How many of you wish you had a boss or a superior like that? You know, and I'm not saying I don't have one or you don't have one, but how awesome is that? A guy that you just started working for goes out on a limb and says, hey, talk to my receptionist like that again, and, you know, we're going to have problems. Good for Bill Bader. Good for drag racing. Good for Division III. And good for racers. Yeah, we're not class racers, but awesome. You know, I fully believe he would make the same effort if he was put up against any other, the same decision in any other event to where, you know, he couldn't reschedule it. And I think it would have been, you know, if it was the 40 grand nationals that he's going to have in Labor Day weekend, he would have done the same thing. It's not just the woe of Division III saying, oh, okay, yeah, we're coming to town. It's the real deal. And that's just who he is. That's what he believes in. And he's not afraid to, you know, put up or shut up.
Yeah, and I'm sitting here looking at this. I missed this story this weekend, so I'm kind of in awe of it right now, taking it all in on Facebook. I'm seeing pictures of a mower that's just buried in the mud and lots of steamrollers rolling around the grounds, and they were working around the clock to get the facility ready. You know, pictures I'm looking at, he said they were taken at 8:30 at night, these guys rolling around on the mowers and steamrollers and, you know, his whole plan to get everybody parked. I mean, man, this is just awesome. This makes me excited to want to go to Norwalk because I know that the person that is behind, that is running the show is dedicated to putting on a good show for the racers. He will stop at nothing to make sure that the event happens as planned. And that is what you can't ask for anything more than that. Exactly. I mean, it's the perfect scenario from a track manager, exactly the thing that you want to see. So just awesome, just an awesome, awesome effort put in by what looks like not just Mr. Bader, but his entire staff. So our hats off to them. And I think this is a great way to cap off the episode for the final round, because man, when somebody does something like this, it deserves the praise and it deserves, you know, this type of attention, because man, this is what we want to see. This is what racers need, is somebody that's ready to, you know, pull it up by the bootstraps and get it done. you know, this is what it's going to take. We got racers on the way. Let's do it. I love it. So freaking awesome. Huge shout out to Bill Bader and the entire staff in Norwalk at Summit Motorsports Park for putting on a great, great show for the racers and fans.
Yep, absolutely. And I think that'll do it. Episode 34, Zach. Yeah. You're heading to Memphis, so good luck to you and your team that never got asked to be a part of, but it's cool.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's all good. No, I wasn't worried about it. I didn't think about it, you know, until whenever you were posting on Facebook looking for team members.
Well, dude, you should have replied.
You know, I wasn't invited, really. You know, I it's all good. You know, I understand. You don't need one more person dragging the team down, so I understand that. You must have, like, had to win a 5K or more at one point in your life to be on this team, because I'm not. It's all good. No, in all reality, I got asked to be on a team for some god-awful reason, but it's just not feasible right now with everything going on here, and my race car's not done, and I don't want to drive to Georgia to borrow a race car just to drive it back, you know? So, we're good. We'll hang out around the Casa this weekend. Yeah. Watched on Motor Mania. And I guess my brother's got a wrestling event Saturday I'm going to go to because my kid wants to go. So pray for me.
Right on.
Yeah. So good luck in Memphis. Good luck to your team. Don't suck. If you could keep the winning ways of the podcast up, that'd be great because I'm, you know, slacking. But yeah, have a good one. Tell Kristen that we said thanks. If you guys listen to the podcast, you see Kristen with Zach at the racetrack, tell her thanks. You know, if you like listening to this podcast, she makes us listenable. So
right.
Just say, hey, thanks for putting up with stupider. She'll know exactly what you're talking about. Trust me.
Yeah, that's for sure. She's editing a lot of times at the racetrack is when she's editing the podcast. And she just, I'll look over and she'll look at me and she just shakes her head. And I'm like, what? And she'll say something that we did on there. And she has to, you know, edit it all and make it sound good. So, yeah, my wife, Kristen, is awesome. Love her to death. And she does a great job with this, with making us sound, like Jake said, presentable to you all. So, and thanks again for everybody listening and supporting the show. Stickers, just hit us up. Let us know. $10 a set. We'll get you a set of stickers out there. Help us keep this going. We certainly appreciate it. And wherever everybody's racing this weekend, have a happy and safe Memorial Day. Like I said, we're safe with the emphasis on that. You know, we don't want any more stories like what happened. It's horrible. So let's everybody keep the mind on safety this weekend. Have safe trips and good luck to everyone.
Yep, absolutely. And we'll see you guys in the staging lanes.